Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. It's great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Kenya, and we've been having a lot of rain. We're in the short rain monsoon season, I guess you would call it. They call it the short rains. It lasts about 2 to 3 months compared to the long rains in the spring, which last 4 to 5 months. And so this is the time of wet weather, and we've been having rain just about every day, sometimes every other day, and the crops look very good, and so we're very pleased with the way things look out at the farm here in Kenya. Well, today I'm going to be talking about part 3 of Prophetic Alert, and I want you to pick up a copy of my recently published book, Prophecies for America, and you can find it on my website. If you go there, gatheroutcast.com, click on my website, gatheroutcast.com, you'll see a window there that has an order link to link you to the book, and just click on that link and you'll be taken right to bookshop where the book is for sale, and you'll have that book in your hands in just a short time. But the book was written to give a warning to people in America about the coming and impending judgments on America. And so that is what I'm going to be talking about today, the judgments that are coming on America. And this is a painful subject. As I've talked the last 2 weeks, it's not easy to say that judgment is coming. It's not a fun message. It's not something you like to do. But I believe as a watchman on the wall and as one who's been given prophetic insight into what's coming into America, what's coming upon America, I believe that I have an obligation. I know that I have an obligation to give a warning. I'm not trying to win any kind of a popularity contest or tell you you're going to get rich if you follow the Lord. I'm telling you that we need to follow the Lord, that we need to listen to Him, turn from our wicked ways, and then the Lord will hear our prayers from heaven. He will forgive our sin, and He will heal our land. Well, as I think about the prophetic alert here today, I'm going to talk, first of all, about a dream that I discuss in the book. And this dream has to do with God gave me warning back in 2015 that judgment was coming to America. There was going to be a storm coming to America. And I didn't understand the totality of it. I did not understand the immensity and the gravity of the situation, but I wrote all the details of the dream down. You can find them in the book. And the details of the dream were such that in May 2015, the God showed me there was a tornado that was coming against the land. I was sitting at the intersection of Highway 36 and 283 there in this town, and I was selling produce out of the back of my truck, as I was occasioned to do in the summertime when I had watermelons, tomatoes, and that type of thing. I would sit at the junction of those two highways and sell produce. And so God showed me in a dream, I was sitting there at the junction of the two highways selling produce, and I looked off into the west, and I saw on the horizon a very, very dark cloud and a tornado that was coming upon the town that I was in. It was coming upon America, and I just had this feeling of impending doom. I had this feeling that this was going to be a great and very destructive tornado, similar in the natural, I guess you would say, to what happened in Joplin or to Moore, Oklahoma, or to Greensburg there in Kansas, where very, very devastating tornadoes came into those cities. And it just looked like a nuclear bomb had been dropped in those cities. And it was very, very devastating. Moore, Oklahoma, and Joplin both. The tornado was a very wide swath, and it went for a long ways in the city, and tremendous destruction. And so that was the feeling that I had as I looked upon this tornado. And I knew that I had to give warning to the people. I knew God was showing me this tornado because He was showing me that great destruction was coming upon the land. Well, part two of that very same dream, I was looking out to the west, and God showed me that there was a storm coming, It wasn't the same as the tornado. It was more of a hailstorm, wind and hailstorm like we get in late June and July, sometimes in August, but more often in the earlier part of the summer. And God was showing me that there was going to be a very destructive storm coming. And he showed me that the men in the combines, the harvesters, the men and the women in the combines, were seeing this storm, and they were frantic to get the crop in because they realized this storm had very devastating potential to wipe out their wheat crop. And so the combines were racing to get in as much crop as they could before the storm hit. And those of you who have been involved in wheat harvest, you know that is a very real scenario in Kansas and all through wheat country, that the farmers keep an eye on the cloud and one eye on the machinery. And they, when they see the clouds come up or they hear the forecast that there's going to be a hailstorm, why, they hurry as fast as they can. They go a little faster and they move a little quicker to try to get as much of the crop in as they possibly can. Well, those were the two main parts of that dream. There were other aspects to it also, but the Lord was showing me that there was going to be a great storm coming, and it was shortly that those dreams were given to me in May of 2015. Well, in June 26, 2015, the Supreme Court decision was rendered that allowed homosexual marriage to be practiced, and not just practiced, but legalized and legally enforced in every state of the United States. And it dismantled that Supreme Court decision, dismantled all of the Defense of Marriage Acts in about 33 states throughout the United States. Kansas was one of the states that had a Defense of Marriage Act declaring that marriage was an institution between one man and one woman, and no other type arrangement would be considered marriage. And so those Defense of Marriage Acts were in application in 32 or 33 states, and they were all set aside, dismantled by this Supreme Court decision. Well, I didn't realize at the time that that was what the dream was about, but as I look back a year or so later, I realized that's what the dream was about. The Lord was showing me the devastating consequences of that decision, the impact on this pillar of God's kingdom, marriage between one man, one woman. 127, he says, he made them male and female. God created them. And then in 128, he says, go and multiply and replenish the earth, and I'll give you dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the creeping things, the cattle and all the creeping things everywhere on the earth. Well, why is this so important to God? Is because when you start destroying and attacking and dismantling the pillars of God's kingdom, then the kingdom itself starts to suffer great violence and starts to suffer great damage. And one of the pillars of God's kingdom is the sanctity of marriage between one man, one woman. That's the way it's been ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden. That's the way it's been ever since the United States became a nation in 1776. That's the way it is in just about maybe every African nation that I've been in. But in the United States of America, we have now usurped God's plan for marriage, and we have replaced it with man's plan for marriage, that marriage can be an arrangement, an agreement between man and man, woman and woman, and soon to be probably man and child, and woman and child, and woman and beast, or man and beast. And so who knows what the next Supreme Court decision will be regarding marriage. I pray that it goes back to the biblical foundation that God has given us for his definition of marriage. And I pray that we would use wisdom and that we would come to understand that God's plan for marriage and God's plan for his kingdom here on this earth is the plan that will stand. It is the plan that will be standing when every other plan and every other kingdom crumbles and God brings his judgment and renders his judgment upon the nations of the earth and the United States of America. Well, beloved, before I start into this discussion any farther, I want to say that God loves every single person, man, woman, or child on the face of the earth. He loves heterosexuals. He loves homosexuals. He loves transgenders. He loves every kind of perverted person. He loves every kind of wicked person. He loves every kind of righteous person. But there are standards and there are principles and there are kingdom pillars that God has established that we need to honor, that we need to respect, and we need to practice them as law-abiding citizens, not only in this country, the USA, but in countries all over the world. I have preached this message in several countries and in many churches all over the world, and it doesn't change when you go from an African nation to the United States to a European nation, because God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the judgment of God will be poured out on those nations who flaunt God's laws, who flaunt God's pillars, who destroy the kingdom of God. God's judgment will be poured out on those nations, and there is no question in my mind that the United States is treading very close. I see signs of war, possibly a great, great conflict on the horizon. I believe the conflict in the Middle East with Iran is going to flare up, and there's going to be a tremendous upheaval, dislocation, chaos, and that will be part of the judgment of God upon the United States of America to try to bring this nation back to their knees, to bring this nation back into alignment with what God has planned for this nation, that the destiny of the U.S. to become the greatest nation on the earth and to be the greatest nation on the earth, that destiny will be fulfilled and it will continue to be a great God-fearing nation, a nation whose money says, "In God we trust," a nation who sends missionaries all over the world, whose churches ring their bells on Sunday morning and people flock to the churches. That is the nation, the United States of America, that God longs to see and that I long to see. And again, God loves every single person. This is not a condemnation of any individuals. It is not a condemnation of certain classes of people. But God has his plan for the U.S. He has his plan for the kingdom of God. And it will not be altered by the laws of man. It will not be altered by the wisdom of man, because God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Well, in Ezekiel 14, I'm going to be talking about the four judgments of God, and these were against Israel, but I see a lot of similarities in the way Israel was behaving and the way we are behaving in the United States of America. There's a lot of prophetic parallels, and you can read through the book of Ezekiel and you'll say, "Oh, that looks just like the USA. That looks just like where we are in America." And so I'm going to be talking about the four judgments of God upon the land of Israel. Ezekiel 14, verse 13, Ezekiel says, "Even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were interceding for the nation of Israel, God says, 'Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against that land. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it.'" So the first judgment is that God will cut off the supply of bread. He will send famine on the land. And God showed me in a dream that I have recounted in the book Prophecies for America, that famine was coming to America, that one of the judgments God was going to mete out onto America would be famine. And so God says, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in this land, they would not be able to intercede and they would not be able to save this land from the wickedness that they are doing. And so then the second judgment that God has. Again, he says, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in this land, he says, I will cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it, and make it so desolate that no man can pass through because of the beasts. Well, you say, well, we don't have wild beasts in America. That's true. When you walk down the street, a lion probably isn't going to jump on you, or a rhinoceros probably isn't going to come out of the bush. Well, that happens in Kenya. So you have to keep your eyes open when you're in certain places in Kenya, because routinely an elephant kills somebody here, or a rhinoceros kills somebody. But that isn't happening, thank God, in America. But we have wild beasts in America, and the beasts are demonic persons, demonic people, who are sexual and violent predators who are preying upon our young people, preying upon our children. And beloved, these are violent beasts. They are more violent than the rhinos and the lions, I can tell you that, because now every single person all over the land of America is full of fear. People used to boast about how they could leave their doors unlocked and how they could walk around at night any place in their town. And granted, maybe some places in America you can still do that, but the overwhelming places in America, especially in the cities, there's great fear. You cannot walk around, even in shopping malls and Walmart parking lots, you cannot walk around without having a fear. Sometimes come in to your mind, and without being aware of your surroundings, you cannot relax, because the carefree relaxation, the carefree attitudes that we had in the 50s and the 60s growing up in America, those are gone, beloved. Those are gone forever, and the wild beasts are in the land. They want to snatch our children. They want to snatch the women. They want to snatch people who are unaware and unsuspecting. They want to snatch people that they can grab and put into sex trafficking. And so the wild beasts are part of the judgment upon America. They are here and they are very active. Well, a third judgment upon America. The Lord says, even if Noah and Daniel and Job were in this land, they would not be able to stop the judgment from coming. They would not be able to intercede for this land. And so the Lord says in verse 17, if I bring a sword on that land and say, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it, then God says that is the third judgment. Well, beloved, we know the sword is outside for the most part. The sword represents the enemies of a nation. The sword represents the enemies of a people. And beloved, we have a lot of enemies out there. We have Chinese submarines probably within just a rifle shot of our coast, the West Coast, and maybe possibly the East Coast, although we probably have Russian submarines on the East Coast. We have Iran rattling their sabers in the Middle East, and we have a lot of enemies that are encroaching upon our territory, encroaching upon our military might. And so when God says that he's going to bring a sword against the land, beloved, you can know that the enemies are going to be riled against America. They're going to be riled up. And some of these enemies have great military armaments. Some of them have great cyber attack capabilities. And so that sword of our enemies, when it gets riled up and when it goes into attack mode, it's going to be very ugly. And I talk about that also in my book, Prophecies for America. God showed me in dreams that there would be military attacks, probably a nuclear attack against a city on the East Coast. There will very likely, God showed me in a dream, a vision, that there would be a nuclear attack. And so that's part of the judgment on America. It's coming, just as certain as I am sitting here, it's coming. And even if Job and Daniel and Noah were in the land, they would not be able to stop it. Well, the fourth judgment is pestilence. God says in verse 19 through the prophet Ezekiel, or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast. And then he talks about that pestilence, which is nothing more than the shedding of innocent blood, this pest of abortion that keeps coming up in every election. It is the main topic. It is the main point of decision. It is the dividing line between all the different political parties, between all the political rhetoric, between even churches and church denominations. The issue of abortion and shedding the blood of the innocents, that is the pestilence in the land. And God says, I'm going to pour out my fury on it in blood. And so the blood of the innocents has been shed. It is continuing to be shed every single day. Thousands of babies are aborted, and so that blood of the innocents cries out from the land, and God is saying, my wrath is going to respond to the cry of the blood of the innocents. Well, in Romans 1:18, this is the judgment that has to do with the sin of homosexuality and the curse of homosexuality upon America, the teaching of it in our schools, the teaching of gender fluidity, the teaching of gender confusion, all this gender perversion, teaching it to our young people, encouraging them to experiment with all kinds of perversion and gender fluidity, transgenderism, all of that perversion, pushing it down the throats of our young people. And God is saying that his wrath is going to be kindled because of that. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppress there means they hold it down, they quench it. They quench the truth with their unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, God has shown himself to every single person on this earth. Every single person knows what God believes about marriage. Every single person knows what God believes about aborting and murdering babies in the womb, because God has shown it to them. And when people have common sense and they have wisdom from the Holy Spirit, they can easily see what God thinks about these things. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. They are understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. People can know God just by seeing nature, by seeing how animals take care of their young, by seeing how animals reproduce, by seeing how simple people, people who have a simple understanding of God's truths, how they reproduce. God says, you can understand me, you can understand my eternal power, you can understand the Godhead, and you are without excuse for not understanding or saying you don't understand these things. Then in verse 24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Well, beloved, that's where we are in not just in America, but many countries around the world. God has given people over to a debased mind because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not like to admit that God has a plan in marriage. They did not like to admit that God has invisible attributes that are clearly seen in nature. And so God gives them over to their reprobate mind, to their vile passions, to follow their wickedness. And beloved, that's where we are today, is that people are rushing headlong into the valley of the shadow of death. People are rushing headlong to pursue their wicked and their vile passions, and they don't even realize that the judgment of God has been pronounced, and that is part of the judgment, that God gives them over to a reprobate, perverted mind. And so their mind then starts to play tricks on them because their mind is full of ideas from the devil. Well, beloved, I hope that this message wakes you up a little bit. It's not an easy message to deliver. Again, God loves every single person. We all know people that may have been described here today. We all love them as people of God. We love them. We want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is the purpose for delivering these messages, that God will say, come, come, come to me. I can heal you. I can raise you up. I can deliver you of every bondage, of every chain, of every brokenness in your life. The Lord Jesus can deliver you. His blood was shed for you, and his blood is sufficient to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Well, I pray that you contemplate this message, meditate on it, pray about it. If you haven't got a copy of the book Prophecies for America, order that book. Go to my website, gathertheoutcasts.com, or to my Facebook page, facebook.com, Jim Rao. You can see that book. You can click on the link to order it and get a copy of that book. Share it with your friends and let them know that we are in a precarious position here in the United States of America. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a good week.